I think we're a very good forum for settling some questions. And it's a common statement, isn't it? If you're not a pet family, if you're not a dog-owning family, a cat family, you have no pets, no companion animals, then people often say, and then you have, say, kids, and you say, well, shall we get a pet to go with the children? Will it be good for the children to have a pet? The children start asking for a pet. Can we have a dog? Let's get a cat. And you think, we're not dog or cat people. We don't know about this. So what about the guinea pig? And you start with a gateway pet like the guinea pig. Here's the questions we need to answer. Is that a good idea? Is the guinea pig actually the most useless pet ever invented? Is it a good idea? Is there something intrinsically good in children and animals? Do the notion often is that the children will learn a lot. They will learn about life and death. They will learn to care for, you know, something else. They'll learn to take responsibility. So that's why we should get a pet. Are these things true? See, we're a good place to settle this because you've done this. You've got some experience in this. So call now, 1-300-222-702. Today's essential question that needs to be answered, of what use is a guinea pig? Now, that's not all. In this hour, we're going to mark 200 years of the bicycle, and we're going to do this in two ways. We're going to talk about the history of the bike, but we're also going to visit the Indian Pacific Wheel Race. If you don't know about the Indian Pacific Wheel Race, get into it if you've got any interest in the bike at all. The Indian Pacific Wheel Race, to me, is hilarious. The Indian Pacific Wheel Race is a solo, unsupported race from Perth to Sydney. In that, it's not like the Tour de France. You don't end up with a support crew and spare bikes on the top of the Saab. It's just you and the bike, and you set off from Perth, and there's no other support. Off you get. Just go. You know, just we'll see you in Sydney when you get there. That sounds like fun. But here's the best bit. The leader is in Melbourne. He's ridden from Perth to Melbourne in 8 days. 8 days. Perth to Melbourne. He's going to be here by tonight. It's unbelievable. So anyway, we're going to check in with the organisers of that and get some further information about what's happening with the Indian Pacific Wheel Race. As we mark 200, it's 200 years since someone thought, I wonder what happens if you put two wheels in a row. How would that go? So we'll be talking about that in this hour. If you're listening in the vehicle, this is what you need to know. Parramatta, Marsden Street at Macquarie Street, lights are flashing yellow. Carrying on the M1, just past the Carrying on interchange. Oh, southbound is a nightmare. 7 kilometre queue there at the moment, been a bad accident, and there's one southbound lane open, but heavy traffic and significant delays southbound at the Carrying interchange on the M1. Eleanor Heights has been an accident at Wakehurst Parkway, truck accident there. Mount Pleasant on the M1 near New Mount Pleasant Road, truck's broken down there, northbound lane affected. Beecroft, Warringah Road at Victor Road. There's some dirt built there. Westbound lane is closed. That's pretty much it. The latest from Live Traffic New South Wales this afternoon. Of what use is a guinea pig? Adorable or annoying? Excellent gateway pet. I think of the guinea pig and the rabbit in some ways as the kind of thing that if you're not a pet family, if you're not the sort of person that already has a dog or a cat, you're not someone who's used to having animals in your life, you go and get a guinea pig to get started. Is that a good idea? Is the guinea pig the best gateway pet? And is it a good idea? Do you have any insights into whether or not it's a good idea for your children to have animals, to grow up around animals? Is that good? It gets talked about the same way people say, oh, you should go learn the piano. It's going to be good for their brain. It's going to be good for their emotional development to have a pet, often seems to be the idea. I want to know your theories. 1-300-222-702 if you'd like to join us. Cheryl?
Yeah, hi, James.
Now, you've had the guinea pig, the dog and the cat?
We've got two dogs, a cat and two bunny rabbits.
Two bunny rabbits.
We've had animals since my oldest daughter's 28 and she is a rabbit and guinea pig vet. And we've had bunny rabbits since she was about 5.
Okay. And was that the gateway pet, was the bunny rabbit?
We did get the bunny rabbit first, but we always knew we were going to... Actually, did we? I can't even remember. It was too long ago. But the bunnies, they're not the easiest pets. If you think to get a bunny rabbit or a guinea pig or a mouse, it's going to be easy or easier than a dog and a cat, you are misguided.
Really? So, why is that?
More work. You've got to give them food, clean out their... Like, we give them a tray of food every night, so you've got to clean it out. You've got to get rid of all of that stuff. You've got to make sure they've got water. They cannot... Like, a cat is the easiest because they look after themselves. Stick the food out, stick water out, and they're happy.
Yeah.
Dogs, okay, you've got to walk them. They like to be in your face all the time. Guinea pigs, and if you don't look after your guinea pig and your rabbit, there's a high chance you're going to have a dead one really, really quickly.
Right.
they're not as easy as you think.
What about when you're looking after them, if you do look after them, do you get much response from your guinea pig?
Oh, look, I know more people with bunnies, but bunny, and I'm on a website, like a Facebook group, that's a Melbourne rabbit group, but people have them running around their house. You can toilet train them. They're really, really responsive, but they're just animals that you've got to look after.
That's the rabbit you're describing as running around the house, right?
Rabbit. And guinea pigs. Like my daughter used to share a house with someone who had guinea pigs, and the whole lounge room was like this whole big guinea pig run.
That sounds horrible.
Well, it is if you want to have the lounge room have a lounge and a television in it.
It is if you've got furniture that adults might use.
Yeah, exactly. But these people had no kids. They had guinea pigs. And when we went down to visit my daughter, it was like you had to sit on this little lounge chair because there was nowhere to sit. I mean, it was not... No. Anyway, that girl...
All right, so you're basically saying the rabbit is a good gateway pet, but you've got to look after it, but you will get a good response.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Guinea pigs, too, if you're into guinea pigs. But if you want a cat that's a rabbit that's a rabbit cat... If you want an animal that's easy, cat.
You know. Cheryl, thanks for that. Cat, easiest one. 1-300-222-702. But what's the purpose? What are we trying to achieve? Cheryl's text and says the purpose of Cheryl has texted and says the purpose of guinea pigs is to teach your children about death. Jane's pets are a great idea to teach your kids how to wash your hands. What is the purpose? Why do we think that got the kid? Better get it a companion animal. This will be a good thing. 1-300-222-702 is our number. Felicity?
Yes, Dave.
You love the guinea pig?
Love them. Love them. They're divine. They're gorgeous.
Right. And are they divine in that they're cute in themselves, or do you get a lot back from your guinea pig?
You know what? They are so entertaining. They really are. We've got two little boys. And one's a long hair, and he's got this amazing sort of quiff action happening with his hair.
Right.
And the other's a short hair. And I have two children, and we've had guinea pigs for probably about 5 years now.
Right.
And we just adore them. They're fabulous.
Why did you get... is this your gateway pet? You didn't have dogs or cats?
Yes, it is a gateway pet. Well, out there and say it's not a gateway pet. We're committed.
That's it. You are guinea pig people.
We're big into piggies.
Yeah.
Love them.
But initially, why were you thinking we've got the kids? Let's get the guinea pigs.
I think dogs. Look, I had two small children. You know, very close in age, and I just thought, you know, having a puppy dog would probably be you know, a bit like having a third small child.
Yeah.
So the piggies were sort of a more placid option.
Mm-hmm.
But look, we absolutely adore our piggies. We really do. We let them go free range in the backyard. They eat the grass. They trim it up. It's just wonderful.
You just explained why you didn't get a dog. Why an animal at all? What were you thinking? What were you hoping would be the result of combining children and guinea pig?
Definitely, you know, compassion for another living creature, you know, giving them responsibility. I mean, my kids are responsible for cleaning out the cage, feeding them, et cetera, et cetera. So, I just wanted to you know, give them that sense of, you know, caring for something other than themselves.
Do you think that's worked?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, our piggies are absolutely adored.
So you call them piggies?
Yeah. Well, they're actually cavies. You know, we actually lived in Canberra for a while, and there's quite a big cavey subculture down there.
Right.
Where, you know, they're right into, you know, showing them and breeding them and what have you. There was actually the Capital Country Cavey Club, it was called.
Mm. Well, we should have got onto them. Felicity, thanks for that. Nice to hear from you. Now, of course, these kind of beasties in other parts of the world are not exactly a pet. They're protein. Scott?
Yes, James.
Scotty, how are you going? You've had the guinea pig. You've eaten it.
We've had two guinea pigs, and I reckon you kind of got to backtrack. Your original question was, are they good or bad?
Mm.
I think it's more a question of how good and how bad can they be. So,
yeah.
You know, how good are your kids about taking care of pets?
Yeah.
That can be very, very bad. And how incredibly good can they be on the plate? And the question is, they're exceptional.
Exceptional at play?
Exceptional on the plate to eat.
Oh, on the plate. I see what you mean. Yeah, on the plate. So you've had them. Where have you eaten them, and how were they prepared?
Well, we ate them at home. And,
you've eaten them here in Australia.
We ate our guinea pigs.
Wow, that's bold.
Well, the kids weren't going to take care of them.
Okay, and so.
And like a previous caller said, you know, they are pretty high maintenance little critters.
Yeah, and so you killed the guinea pig. You butchered the guinea pig, and then. Turned it into what? Like, is it like I'm seeing it sort of laid out, you know, like for a barbecue?
Look, I'm a chef by trade,
yeah,
and I'm not a butcher. So we had a Peruvian mate of ours butcher them,
right.
And I'll tell you what, it was pretty hard to stop him from taking them home himself because he's
right.
pretty partial to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Do
they taste like chicken?
No, well, kind of, but specifically, they're a lot like spatchcock.
Spatchcock.
Incredibly sweet, very muscular little things, but yeah, the meat's fantastic.
Okay. And did you just, you know, simple grilling, bit of a squeeze of lemon juice or what?
No. You cook them on carcass in the hide. So like, like say, for instance, our own Aboriginals cook a goanna skin on in the charcoal, in
right.
the grills. That's what you do with cavies.
Okay. And then that just peels off or you eat the whole lot?
Peel the whole lot off and then just take the flesh however you will.
Uh-huh.
Fernando helped us with a dipping sauce for it. It's not that funny, James. It's serious business.
Can I just say that is one of the best punchlines to a story I've ever heard in years of doing this. Fernando helped us with the dipping sauce.
Well, look, it's just the truth.
Scotty, fantastic. Stay on the line, Scotty. I feel like I want your number. I don't know why, but I just do. 1-300-222-702 is our number. You know, if you were raising trout and you had them as pets for a while, well, you'd tuck into them, wouldn't you? Let's not forget that this is simply life as it's lived in many parts of the world. Maruska, what do you think is a good gateway pet?
I think chickens. I advocate for chickens.
Yeah.
We were either going to compost or get chooks, and we've gotten a few backyard chooks. I refer to them as cats with feathers. They love a cuddle. They're very responsive to kids. You can't really rough handle them too much. You give them all your scraps and your leftovers, and they give you eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a win-win situation.
Is there much interaction though? Like, can you have fun with a chicken? Like, you know,
oh,
cats.
Absolutely.
Really?
Teach them things. I mean, I haven't got the patience or the time, but I've seen people teach them to play the xylophone and bits with their beaks. They're very cuddly. If you've never cuddled a chook, but they're very cuddly things when you raise them to be that way.
And so you can, like, have you got kids?
No.
But if I did, I mean,
huh?
Well, that's why we often sort of want, you know, when we're getting pets for the kids, it's that we want some interaction. We want them to, you know, for the chicken to form something of a bond with the human.
Yes.
Do they
cuddle my chooks, and I've seen children happily cuddling chooks. It's hard to herd a chicken.
Right.
But, you know, they're fairly hardy,
yeah,
but they do respond. They're very cuddly. They you know, they've got their personalities.
Maruska, fantastic, thank you. Wayne writes in a similar mood to Scotty with his cavey with his KV casserole. Scotty says, where to go? Wayne writes, pet rabbits were a great way to teach us not to get too attached to things as kids. Went from rabbit hutch to empty hutch to dinner plate in my household growing up. Maltese delicacy. In hindsight, toughened us and somewhat scarred for life. Can bear to part with anything now. Interesting. It's like how many people had that sort of relationship to what we think of as, to what others would think of as pet animals in their life. Fascinating. Matt.
G'day, James. How are you?
Good. Scotty's cooked them up here in Australia, but you've seen them in South America. I think of this as a South American thing.
Yeah, all over. I was in Bolivia and Peru and Ecuador back in, 20 years ago, and they were everywhere. But my best experience was going up in Ecuador to a high Andean area, stayed in a mud brick farmhouse, like a homestay, just for a couple of nights so I could hike around this rim of this famous volcano.
Sorry, I'm really sorry, Matt. I'm going to have to, your line's breaking up there a bit. We'll see if we can get you back. Thank you so much. Now, Jesse, you're suggesting not the guinea pig, not the rabbit, but the rat.
I am indeed, James.
The rat is a gateway pet.
Absolutely. They only live for 3 years, max. Yeah. Mm. This is the domestic pet rat. The wild feral ones don't live that long. Mm-hmm. But they're really, really engaging. They learn their names. It's easy to toilet train them. You've got to feed them once a day and make sure they've got enough water, especially in the hot weather, because they don't handle the heat very well, and clean their cages regularly. And that's about it, apart from playing with them. And they love to play.
And they love to play. They're a playful little thing.
Yep, they are.
Yeah. They learn their names.
I agree with Mariska about the chicken stew, though. Yeah, really? They do learn their names. My favourite was a male rat called Mr. Pie that I had de-sexed so he could live with his girlfriends without progeny.
Yes.
And he would come, every time I called his name, he would come out and have a cuddle.
Huh. That's pretty good, isn't it? And what kind of things can, we know what we can do with a cat, right? We can put a thing on a string and it'll chase it and, we can throw a ball to a dog, it'll go and get it. How do you play with a rat?
Well, just cuddling them, chasing them around the place. You can lead them on heart. You can lead them on. You can put harnesses on them. You can train them to track harness like a ferret or a cat.
Take them for a walk.
Take them for walks. Yep. Yeah.
Do they like going out? I imagine your problem there is if you go out with it on a leash, and it encounters a dog.
You need to pick it up fairly quickly.
Right. Yeah, that's
and
what
in those situations, I would much rather sit on your shoulder and look at the world from slightly higher
right,
up.
Right, right. Mm. Yeah. I have trouble. I sort of wish I could get over the rat thing, but, I'd hate them. And so
I never thought that I would like a pet rat, except I actually looked after some for a friend. And while she was away in Thailand, I looked after her pet rats, and the python that lives in our ceiling got into the cage one night and ate one of the boys.
Yeah.
And to make the other boy feel better, I put him in with the girls, and they ended up doing what they do. And she was going to put them down and feed them to someone else's snake, and I said, no, you can't do that. And I ended up with pet rats.
Right. Well, that is a great... See, this is... Maybe this is what we're really on about. The contact with animals, however it goes, is a great educational process for your children.
It's totally important. We had pets all of my childhood, and we all turned out to be loving, caring, good people who love animals.
Right.
I do wildlife care as well, so does one of my brothers. Yeah, all good people. And I think that animals in our lives has helped enormously.
Yeah, and so you think it's the interaction with animals teaches you to care about other species and about other humans? That about humans?
Oh, yes. You sort of, you learn to look after a pot plant, then you learn to look after a dog, and then you learn to look after other people. It works. But start slowly.
Jesse, thanks for that. Start slowly. Start with a rat. Start with a rat on a leash. Just be careful of drain pipes, or up it goes. Jesse, fantastic. Nice to hear from you. Let's see if we've got Matt back on the line. Matt.
Hey, James.
When we were last talking, you were halfway up a volcano in Ecuador.
That's right. Amazing place. Anyway, so we've been in a farm stay in this sort of mud brick house with a family, and they deliberately have little rips around their doors and everything because inside their home, which is a couple of rooms, there's just guinea pigs everywhere. I don't know, dozens and dozens of them. And then on the fire that they've got, like a Portuguese chicken-style flattened animal, which looks all to be like a rat when it's flattened, getting cooked, and it's a couple of guinea pig. And And they just, they chop it up and put on your plate and a bit of rice and you eat your guinea pig. And then when they finish at their meal, they just chuck their scraps onto the floor and the guinea pigs just come and eat. And they said, yep, that's all we do. They just eat the scraps and they said they breed like rats and they've just got endless source of protein.
And they're just running around the place because...
Just running around, cleaning the house. They clean up themselves. They just...
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything. It's just a constant supply of protein. It was fantastic.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Did
they serve it with a dipping sauce?
There was... I don't remember. There was no dipping sauce. I must say, they love their mayonnaise down there. So there's a lot of... mayonnaise with things and corn and, you know...
a cavy mayonnaise sandwich would be fine.
Yeah.
Cavy and mayo.
It was delicious, I can tell you.
It was,
and it was like a game, like the other Scott was saying, like a game sort of birdie thing.
Gamey chicken.
Ah, it's delicious. I don't know why we don't just let them run loose and pick them up and eat one.
You know what? it's been a funny segment, Matt. You know, we was heading in one direction and we had a lot of callers about pets. We have no callers about pets now. They've also all vanished.
I do have my opinion on a gateway.
What's your gateway pet then?
Well, this is for kids. You've got annoying kids who want the pet. I want the poodle. I want the I'm not one of them. Yeah. And then you don't really want one. So you get them a goldfish and you say, you've got to look after it.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's just going to die, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you don't feel bad about a gold... Well, I don't. About a goldfish dying.
Right.
And they go, well, that's it. You're going to have a pet. And they can't look after it.
Yeah.
And it sounds cruel. But
Have you got kids, Matt?
Got kids. Had the goldfish.
Got kids.
It lasted longer than we hoped.
And
we,
so why are you not... So you're not introducing pets into the family?
Course, you know, going on holidays and having them around the house. I love pets. My partner, she doesn't.
Right.
Not really into it, so we had to compromise and say, well, respect her desire not to have a filthy, dirty animal around the house, as you call it.
And that's true. Possibly being in Ecuadorian huts with guinea pigs running everywhere might have put her off it if that she was there. But, Matt, thank you. Nice to talk to you. Nellie, you'd go with the chickens?
Listen. I used to work in the animal industry, / vet, nurse, zookeeper, animal technician.
Yeah.
Chickens are lovely. They're really, really tactile. Mm-hmm. They're great to have.
Yep.
But if you fall over or pass out, that chicken will peck out your eyes.
So just you know, make sure you've had water, you're in good strength before you head down to the hut, down to the cave.
Yeah, if you accidentally fall out, trip over or faint in your backyard, in your chook pen, not a good look.
Has that ever happened?
Yep, it has.
Really?
Really. When I worked in the animal industry and research, I used to go in and work with our chickens. It was the one unit where someone would come and check on you.
Wow.
Yeah, because if you pass out, you haven't got long. They like your eyes first.
This has been, Nellie, the most peculiar segment on pets. It's just... It's just gone in weird directions. Like, now you've taken us into this, you know, the chickens, you've turned it into a Hitchcock film.
Well, the other thing, too, is my rule of thumb is once I've given it a name, I can never eat it.
Oh, right.
Ever. And so, the guy that rang up, I was, you should have heard what I was saying when he was talking about eating a cavy.
Really?
It's like, no.
But there's an entire continent that does. And there are plenty of people saying,
you know what?
The Belgians do this too.
As well in other places, and I couldn't do that either.
Yeah. But I mean, we couldn't do it. But like all of those sort of things, like rats and cavies and stuff in Belgium and in parts of, you know, the Netherlands and that sort of stuff, perfectly common, perfectly, you know, normal. Horse meat.
I think I'd probably starve before I could eat a rat.
Yeah.
You'd have to lie to me.
I'd
have to lie.
I doubt you would starve before you would eat a rat, Nellie.
Yeah, I would.
Really?
Because the thought of doing it, I won't be able to get it down my throat.
How hungry are you by about 8 o'clock at night? Come on.
I can go. I can. Yeah, I'm a mother. Come on. I've raised a couple of kids. I've got 6 grandkids. I can starve.
You can starve.
I've been conditioned.
Go the chicken, you reckon. Fiona, you went with the snake?
Yes.
Gateway pet was the snake.
Well, yes, sort of. We had some cats, but we lived near the road and they got hit and we were very sad. And then my friend rang and said, oh, we've got this snake that needs a home. And I'm like, oh, there's no way I'm having a snake. He said, look, I'll just bring it around when the kids are here. You can have a little quick look at it. Mm. And of course, as soon as he brought it around, kids took one look and went, can we have a snake? Can we have a snake?
So, cool. And what is it, like a pythony thing? What is it?
Yes, it's a python. But I think the only drawback with the snake, well, the good thing is they only eat once a week. So if you forget to feed them for a bit, it's okay, because they eat once a week and they poo once a week.
Right.
So that's easy to clean. But the trouble is they eat rats, and we keep them in the freezer frozen.
Oh,
and when I reach in to get the frozen chicken to cook, I have to be careful that I don't accidentally put my hand on a pack of frozen rats, because they're sort of next to each other in the freezer. But
you're ratsical, or you're mycical, they
call
them.
That's right,
yeah.
And also trouble, just thinking back to that lady with the chicken with the eyes and the Hitchcock, I heard a story after I got the snake that said, oh, just be careful they don't grow too big, because I knew this vet once, and this lady brought her massive great big python in. She, for some reason, was sleeping in the bed with it. I don't know why. Mm. But it stopped eating for a couple of weeks.
Mm.
And she said, she'd taken him to the vet and said, you know, what's wrong with my snake? It won't eat. And they said, it's sizing you up. It stopped eating to make room in its stomach to
really?
Size you up.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good,
snake,
isn't it?
It might eat you if it's too big.
Wow, isn't that interesting? So it's a little bit like us. But I'm going out for dinner tonight, so I might skip lunch. Cause
yes. Make room.
I want to really enjoy the. I want to have the entree as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, Fiona, fantastic, fantastic. What a. Thank you. Not quite the segment I intended, but hilarious. And I'm for those who found that a little bit distressful, I can't understand. But there is a reality, you know. We do grow protein to eat, and that occurs in all sorts of different forms.